Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Samuel verses 1 to 17. Please rise, if you're able, for the reading of God's word. This is a longer passage, so we'll be alternating reading. We're trying something different, and because this is a long passage, you will read the even verses, I'll read the odd verses, so I'll start. Okay, are we ready? Nice and loud, please. Okay. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zaphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, and son of Elihu, son of Tohu, the son of Zaph, an Ephraimite. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. And she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. And thank you for your participation.
Good morning. Morning. I'm so grateful that I'm able to share the word of God with you today and rejoice in the Lord on this special day. Why don't we take a moment to say Happy Mother's Day to each other to greet this morning. Happy Mother's Day. If we look at the Ten Commandments, the first to the fourth commandments are given as instructions on how to relate with God, and the fifth and the tenth commandments are given to us as instructions on how to relate with our fellow human beings. And the fifth commandment, which is honor your father and mother, is the first commandment that pertains to our relationship with others, and it is a commandment that we are to obey strictly without a question. Honoring our parents is not a matter of choice, but it is a requirement that God has established through his law. And in the Old Testament, people may have feared the law and obeyed out of compulsion, but we are not just called to honor our parents merely out of obligation. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, God says, "Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land of the Lord your God is giving you." Those who honor their parents will ultimately receive blessings from God. And to all the sons and daughters here today, I bless you in the name of the Lord to love and honor your parents in obedience to God's word and receive his abundant blessings. Today's scripture is from 1 Samuel chapter 1. And through the story of Hannah, the mother of Samuel, I would like to have this time to learn about what it means to be mothers who please and honor God. The title of today's sermon is The Best Inheritance, and we would like to take this time to explore what it means to leave behind the most precious inheritance for our children. There's a famous quote saying, "Behind every great man, there is always a great mother." This saying emphasizes the crucial role that mothers play in the lives of their children. Even John D. Rockefeller, one of the wealthiest men in history, was profoundly influenced by his mother's faith, love, and wisdom. Rockefeller's mother taught him 10 principles that became the foundation for his life. First, it was serve God and believe in him as more than a father. Second, serve your pastor after serving God. Third was attend Sunday worship service at your own church. Fourth, always be willing to work for God, help others, love your neighbor, save some money, always tell the truth, avoid alcohol, choose your companions wisely. And in the end, Rockefeller became a person of great faith, service, and love, and became the world's wealthiest man. At the age of 33, he became a millionaire, and 10 years later, he owned the world's largest company. And at the age of 53, he became the world's wealthiest man. And he said he became such a person because of the 10 principles he received from his mother when he was young. As you can see, the role of a parent is not just given to us without a reason, but it is important to remember that God has entrusted us with the responsibility of raising our children in faith. Today, may we all be inspired by the example of Hannah, and may we leave the legacy of faith and love and wisdom for our children to follow. Today's passage introduces Hannah, the mother of famous Samuel. Samuel was an Israelite spiritual leader who helped with the declining state of Israel. But who was behind this great spiritual leader? I think it was his mother, Hannah, who prayed for him. Therefore, today we want to look at Hannah and see what kind of mother we all should be. At the time of Samuel lived, there were three misfortunes that befall Jewish women. First, losing their hair was a misfortune for Jewish women. Second, being unable to marry and remaining single was a misfortune. Third, not being able to bear a child was a major misfortune for Jewish women. So according to Jewish tradition at the time, if a woman did not bear a child within 3 years of their marriage, they were expelled from their household. So to avoid being expelled, they would give their female servants to their husband as second wives. It was better than being expelled. And this Hannah was in that very situation. So Peninnah, her maidservant, was given to her husband, yet the verse 6 of passage records, "Because the Lord has closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her." So since this maidservant status has risen now, she despised her mistress, belittled her, and made her life difficult. So Hannah prayed to God with all her heart and stated in verse 10, "In her deep anguish, Hannah prays to the Lord, weeping bitterly." So first thing we want to take from Hannah today is that Hannah was a mother who prayed in the midst of sorrow. If you look at verse 13, how does Hannah pray like? Hannah prays like this. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. Have you ever prayed like this before? Without making a sound as if you're drunk? Perhaps this is what it looks like when you're praying earnestly and so desperately to God. Sadness is not always a bad thing. A research team at the University of Pittsburgh studied with 137 with healthy people and unhealthy group with ulcers. They found that healthy people cry better when they're sad than the unhealthy group. Also, Henry Morselli, a psychiatrist in the United Kingdom, he said, if you don't cry when you're sad, another organ will start to cry. That means if you don't cry when you're sad, your liver, your blood vessels, maybe your brain will start to cry and suffer instead. And sometimes even the Bible tells us to weep and cry to God. So if you look at Lamentation chapter 2, verse 18, it says, the hearts of the people cry out to the Lord, you walls of daughter Zion, let your tears flow like a river day and night. Give yourself no relief, your eyes no rest. So in the midst of sorrow and suffering, I encourage you to cry and pray to God. So while preparing for this message, I thought of two women, my mother and my grandmother. So my mother lived her life with many hardships that I saw her to go through. However, I did not see her cry or complain in front of me very often. Instead, she cried a lot when she was praying. And my mother taught me that pouring out sadness to God is also worshiping. Not pouring out joy to God is only worshiping. She told me not to cry in front of people, but cry in the presence of God. In life, we face many difficulties. When we face problems with our children, finances, relationships, and other issues, I hope we can be parents who pour out sorrow and tears before God. God wants to receive our sincerity. And I think it is a contradiction if you only offer formal prayers while saying that God is our Father. Because if you truly consider God as our Father, I believe that we should be able to express not only our feelings of joy, excitement, and happiness, but also our anger, sorrow, and sadness like we do to our fathers on this earth. And I believe that the tears of a mother will not fall on the ground, but will ascend to the heaven and bear fruit. And also, when children see mothers who pray in tears, they will learn how to regulate their emotions, and they will understand who the true Father is, and they will grow up learning about the amazing grace of God who transforms our sadness into a crown of joy. The second point we can learn from Hannah is that we should strive to become mothers who rejoice in God. Let's all read 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. Then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is lifted high, my mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. Amen. As previously mentioned, Hannah was unable to conceive a child. So she prayed to God in her sorrow and was answered with a son. His name was Samuel. After Hannah prayed with tears, God gave her the gift of a son, whom she dedicated to God as Nazareth. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 22, it is written, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. So she gave Samuel to God to live in the temple for the rest of his life once the boy is weaned. Samuel was a son born out of suffering, and he was an incredibly precious gift to her. Even so, Hannah, she dedicated her son to God, allowing him to grow up in the temple. And Ali also have a son. His name is Abe. He's about the same age as Samuel was when Samuel was dedicated to God. Hannah's story reminds us to become mothers who delight in God, who dedicate our children to God. How could Hannah have this faith to rejoice in the Lord and dedicate her son to God? Please look at verse 28 with me. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. And in the very next verse, chapter 2, verse 1, she confesses, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." Samuel was everything Hannah had. When there was no Samuel, she was even looked down by her maidservant, and she felt like living is not worth it. Every day she lived in tears. But now, how happy she'd be to have Samuel with her. Samuel was Hannah's future. He was a very precious child to her. Yet, we can see Hannah's joy in offering her son to God. And it means Hannah's joy did not come from simply having a child, but her joy came from the fact that God has listened to her prayer and God is with her. There's no doubt that getting married, having children, raising them, teaching them, making money, doing business, succeeding in life, they're all joyful things. However, in the passage, Hannah is prioritizing her joy only in God. Giving birth to a son was a joyful event for her, for sure. But the fact that God has listened to her prayer made her even happier. So through Hannah today, we learned that we should be mothers who pray in sorrow and rejoices in God. While preparing for this sermon, I looked back on myself and wondered how much of a praying mother I have been and how much of a mother who rejoices in God alone above all else. The way parents behave is the most effective and direct way for children to feel and learn about God. After I graduated from the theological school, I have been doing children and youth ministry until now. And during that time, I learned one really important thing, which is that faith is ultimately built at home. Children come to church only once a week, but the time spent with their parents has great impact on them. Life lessons learned through their parents sometimes have a greater impact than a lesson taught by a pastor at church. Of course, it is important to come to church and learn about the Word of God regularly. But what I'm trying to say is that the weight of carrying the title of parents is also very heavy. Children learn about faith and God's love through us. And I believe there is God's great purpose in giving parents and children this unbreakable bond, which is, as parents, we have this obligation to inherit faith. And we may have money, health, or kind of personality to pass on to our children, but the most precious inheritance that cannot be compared to anything what I said is faith. We are and we should inherit faith in our children. With the power of his faith, our children will gain the ability to stand and live on their own once we leave this earth someday. So 2 weeks ago, my grandmother passed away. She was the first generation Christian in our family, and she was also a pastor. In Korea, children memorize the multiplication table before they enter elementary school. This is like the first thing the most children memorize in their lives. However, my grandmother taught me to memorize the Lord's Prayer and Apostles' Creed before the multiplication table. And every morning, when I went to school, she would lay her hand on my head and pray for me. And she told me interesting stories in the Bible and taught me how to pray when I was sad and taught me how to praise when I was happy. And she taught me how to find joy in God alone. And I remember calling my grandmother one day when I first became a pastor, and she told me I should pray a lot more than before. And her faith and the prayerful lifestyle has been inherited to me, and this inheritance has been sustaining my life until this day. So when my grandmother passed away 2 weeks ago, I was deeply saddened, but at the same time, I was happy and filled with joy and hope because my grandmother, who have been longing for Jesus is now in heaven. And there's no pain or sadness there. And I'm confident that one day I will too follow her path and meet her again in heaven. And I have this one hope for myself. Like my grandmother did, I hope to inherit my faith and my children, not anything else. I believe that the most precious inheritance is faith. So I would like to encourage all of you who are raising your children to remember that the best inheritance is faith. So when the day comes for you to stand in front of the Lord, when he may ask you what you have left for your children, may you be able to say that you taught them how to have faith and love God alone above all else. I believe and I bless you all this in the name of the Lord. Thank you.